الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا بالقاسم محمد. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، ولعنة الله الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بأبي عبد الله الحسين عليه الصلاة والسلام. The greatest miracle of Islam is that it has made Muslims needless of miracles. It has encouraged and directed the human intellect to become completed in such a way that every individual, through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may be a prophet in his own rights. If we see the miracles that are being performed, a person turning his hand 360 degrees or their heads, we ask ourselves, but this man's turning his head 360 degrees, how will it feed the poor, hungry stomachs inside the world? Will this miracle bring roofs over the heads of those who are destitute? Will it bring for us a proper, well-balanced and just economy, a fair political system? And if it doesn't, then what good is this miracle? The Prophet split the moon in two to prove his prophethood. But his message was his real miracle, and that was to enable this man to control his own destiny, to take him from these levels of the earth and elevate him to a position where even Jibreel Amin trembles and says to Rasulullah, if I were to take another step, I shall be burned to ashes. The greatest message of the Prophet was, and the miracle, to make us needless of miracles. With this note, we start our talks. That in Islam, the human society is regarded like the human individual. The human individual consists within him all the beauty and the complexity that is contained within the society as a society. It is as if when the individual is elaborated, it is he who becomes the society. He is the microcosm, and the society in the universe is another expression of this individual as the macrocosm. As the great master Ali, Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi, says, he says in one of his poem, and look at the master, دَوَارُكَ فِيكَ وَلَا تَبْصِرُ. Your cure is within you, O insan. and you do not see. وَدَاءُكَ مِنْكَ وَتَسْتَنْكِرُ. And your ailment is from you, and you seek to refuse. وَتَزْأَمْ عَنَّكَ جِرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ. You imagine yourself to be an insignificant organism. وَفِيكَمْ تَوَالْعَالَمَ الْأَكْبَرُ. And within you, Allah has enclosed the mighty universe. أَنْتَ كِتَابُ الْمُبِينَ الَّذِي. You are the open book of Allah. بِأَحْرُفِهِ يَظْحَرُ الْمُضْمَرُ. By whose letters the hidden secrets and the wonders of Allah become manifest. The human individual, he comprises within himself all the beauty that is within the community, the human society, and the whole of the creation that Allah has created. And as we advance slowly and gradually within our topic, please bear, listen with attention and attentiveness. When the human being dies, it is the qiyamah. It is the death of the dunya. It is the death of the sky. It is the death of the arshullah. The Jibreel is within us. The arsh of Allah is within us. The dunya is within us. When one of us dies, it is said that this is qiyamatu sughra. That this is the small qiyamah. Everything comes to an end. And when we are about to die, Allah appears in front of us. Not by his eyes, but his overall, overwhelming being appears. وَظَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ. And Allah says, on that moment, everything that they used to worship fades away from them. And the man sees, and he sees Allah. And he says to Allah, oh Allah, it was only you and only me. And there was nobody else apart from us. Everything else was a dream. It was only you and it was only I. The human individual comprises all of this beauty within him. Now look at the human child. When the human child takes birth, he has no recourse to the outside world. The child does not hear, does not see. Slowly, he begins to hear. And then he begins to see. And then he begins to feel. Sense perception are his only medium towards the surrounding and the outside world. He is absolutely materialistic, the human child. The pangs of hunger prompt the child to cry out, don't they? The child doesn't understand that it is hunger that is making it cry. Does any one of us remember when we were within the wombs of our mothers? Do we remember when we took birth? Do we remember the hunger that we used to have? Do we remember the way we used to cry? But we have done all of this, haven't we? Without understanding, the child is extremely materialistic. The only recourse the child has is through sense perception. The child understands roughness and smoothness, brilliant light and dim light, good sound and a sharp sound that is displeasing to his ear. Gradually the child evolves and begin to analyze. This is bigger than this. This is smaller than this. This is brighter than this. And look at the beauty of the Quran. As the Quran says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْرَجْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. And we have caused you to come out from the wombs of your mothers in a state in which you did not know anything. فَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمُ السَّمْعَى. And we made ears for you, وَالْأَبْصَارَ. And eyes, وَالْأَفْئِدَ. And hearts. And look at the way the child progresses. First the child begins to hear. Then the child begins to see. And then he begins to think. And look at the Quran. You hear first. Then you see. Then you think. It has only been proven lately by science. As the child grows, they begin to imagine. The faculty of imagination comes into play. Do you remember as children how we used to be afraid of ghosts and jinn? Our mothers used to tell us, Bhagro aushe, there'll be this Bhagro who'll eat you, go to sleep. Do you remember how we used to do tasbihs and taweez and rings to protect us? Do you remember all that? The child is imaginative, superstitious, extremely superstitious. They see a shadow and we are afraid. You see a Dracula movie and for 2 weeks we don't sleep. It is like this, isn't it? Then the child grows. The intellect becomes more and more complete until the child sees that there is no worth in this fear of jinn and bhoot and superstition. Wearing the ring and the taweez does not mean anything. The same Allah who has placed any power in this ring, that Allah is with me at all times. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ And He is with you wherever you may be. But do you remember those days where we could not come out of our house without our rings? Do you remember? The same ring which was a wasila to Allah became shariq with Allah. The same ta'weez which is a wasila to Allah became a god with Allah. We say, if I don't go out of the house with this ta'weez, I will die or my wealth will diminish. But Allah, who has put power in there, He's with us. What did Hussein have? He was alone. 1,000 of army in front of him with their swords unsheathed, waiting for his blood. And he looks at the army and he says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no might, there is no power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the child progresses, I have never finished my lecture on time in my life. Yesterday was the first time in my life I finished it on time. And this thing about the time, you know, wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr, it's true. Inna al-insana lafi khusr, because of time. You know, when your mind is constantly on time, you don't know what you're saying half of the time. And as the child progresses, he uses the faculties of his intellect. No longer does he worship the sun. He's not afraid of the moon anymore. The mighty waves are inside his control. He governs the universe. The sun and the moon are all in his palm. Now he stands as the master of creation and of his own destiny. And then he progresses. At that time his heart opens. And there he finds Allah. The spiritual experience of Allah. And there he puts his head in sajda. And he says, O Allah, it is you that I was searching. And it is you after this whole journey that I have found. And it is at that time that he smiles, opens his arm, and says to Malakul Maut, O Malakul Maut, come and take me, for I have waited for this moment to meet with the beauty of all beauty, with the love of my heart, and the point of my separation, for whom I have cried out in every stage of my life. The same circle in the course is followed by the human society. If you look at the nature of miracles, Mulla Sadra discusses this in his philosophy. The nature of miracles that have come to the people are always in accordance with the understanding of the people. The miracle of Nuh, salamullah alayhi, was a material miracle. The floods of Nabi Nuh, there is no intellect involved in that miracle, because the people were still at the level of a child. The miracle was material miracle. Then people progressed, the human society, like an individual child progresses, the human society progressed. It reached a level where now, through imagination, it can manipulate and control matter, but still related to matter. They understood sorcery. And so when Musa went, he went with an asa, with a staff, which is a miracle of matter. The staff is matter. And yet, it is a snake. So it is matter and something beyond, because the human society had progressed. Now, when the sorcerers and the magicians assembled, Musa said to them, "Shall you throw first or shall I?" No, they said to Musa, "Shall you throw first or shall we?" Musa said, "Bal antum mulqoon." You throw first. And this is the sunnah of Allah, that He always lets batil excel to their maximum, and with the minimum effort, finishes them. Now, these magicians, they went to Fir'aun and they said, "Ha'inna lana ajran in kunna nahnu al-ghalibun." Ghalibin. "O Fir'aun, do we have an ajr if we were the ghalibin?" Fir'aun said, "You will be min al-muqarrabin." Such was the reward. I don't think we're going to finish this particular topic, so bear with me. When they threw their staffs and their ropes, وَأَوْجَزَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً, even the great Moses, the grand Musa, felt fear in his heart. What will happen? Look at this. And Allah says to Musa, "Do not fear." Now these magicians had excelled to the maximum level of intellect in their day. Musa threw his staff. The staff turned into a serpent. It devoured all the other staffs and all the other ropes. Musa picked it up and it became a staff. What happens here? What happened? The people who were watching did not do anything. Fir'aun did not do anything. But the great magicians fell into sajda. But I will ask, but you are the ones who are challenging Musa. But you are the one who believe in Fir'aun as Allah. But you are the ones who are the enemies of Musa. Why did you fall into sajda? Allahu Akbar. Look at this. They saw something nobody else could see. What did they see? They saw from the light of their intellect. They saw something. They saw that this is a staff, as it was before he threw it. But now this staff has got 20 more ropes inside it. And yet there is no excess. And there is no subtraction in the matter of the staff. And that is a logical impossibility. That is not logically possible. If I were to join something with this, it will become twice in mass. But the staff of Musa, before he threw it, was this much. Now he's picked it up with 20 other staffs inside, it is still the same size. And that is an impossibility. They threw themselves into sajda. And then, this is the meaning of the hadith, "Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu." He who knows his self to that extent of knowledge, knows his Lord to that extent of his knowledge. And everybody's Rabb is different, because everybody's nafs is different, and everybody's understanding of their nafs is different. My Lord might be anger, yours might be love. Somebody's might be money, and somebody's might be the Lord of Muhammad Rasulullah. What happened then? Fir'aun said, now look at this, these jadugar do not know about Islam, do not know about Allah. Fir'aun said, "You've believed in him, he is your leader. I will crucify you and skin you alive." They said, "We are hopeful of the forgiveness of Allah, and he can do more to us than whatever you can do to us. I will ask the jadugar and the magicians, but you don't know Allah, how can you say this?" They will say that if Allah can do this, and he can excel human strength, then he can excel human strength in any capacity. Then came Isa, Ruhullah. When Isa came, the intellect was further completed, but still there was recourse to matter. Isa used to breathe life into the dead bodies and cause them to become alive. Why? Because his society excelled at medicine. So Isa's miracle was also related to them. Imagine, if Isa would have come with the laptop and the CD-ROM, would it have meant anything? Miracle has to be in accordance with their understanding and beyond. If Isa would have shown them the computer, it wouldn't have mattered. Bill Gates would have performed that miracle for us. Anyway, so Isa came with a miracle befitting them, to the extent that people said that this is from Allah. He used to alleviate blindness, cure leprosy, breathe life into dead bodies. Then the human society, like an individual, goes in its pursuit of this intellectual perfection. And there comes Muhammad Rasulullah. And what is the miracle of the Prophet? Salawat. Now, please pay attention. Look at me and pay attention. When the Prophet comes, what is the Prophet's miracle? It is a book. It is not a staff. He is not reviving the dead. It's an intellectual miracle. It's the miracle of the intellect. Because the human mind has become perfected. It no longer needs recourse to matter. It can understand abstract ideas. What happens is, there's a competition. Every year, the best poets, they gather. And the best poetry is nailed to the wall of the Kaaba. What does the Prophet do? From this vast Quran that is inside his heart, he brings the smallest surah. Just as Namrud goes with his army and Allah sends small insects. Just as Abraha comes with elephants and Allah sends Ababil, tarmihan bihijaratin min sijjil. Allah allows batil to reach its peak and with the minimum effort vanquishes them. What does the Prophet do? He has Suratul Kawthar written and nailed to the wall of the Kaaba. The chief poet, who is the Hujjah of the poets, because they excelled at literacy and at eloquency, he reads, Inna a'atainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. He writes another line, Wallahi, مَا هَذَا كَلَامُ الْبَشَرِ. Where is the jadugar of Fir'aun? They said, this is from Allah. The doctors in the time of Isa say, this is from Allah. The grand poets and those who excelled at eloquency, they say, this is from Allah. Now we wish to continue with this topic tomorrow. What happens after the coming of the Quran? And continuation of this. And we have a lot of things to say and talk about. But it would not be right to conclude any talk without the remembrance of the love of our heart and the love of divinity and the love of Allah. Look at the great position Hussein enjoys with Allah. A person called me, a female in England, and she had certain problems. And we needed to establish which school of thought she belonged to before we could give her a ruling. So we asked her, do you know Ali? She said, no. Okay, do you know Abu Bakr? No. Do you know Umar? No. Do you know Osman? No. Do you know Hussein? Yes, I know Hussein. It is as if after Allah, people believe in Muhammad Rasulullah, and after that they can forget everyone, but Hussein can't be forgotten. Even Ali and Murtada is forgotten. Even Abu Bakr, Umar, Osman are forgotten. But Hussein is not forgotten. And at the end I found out she was a Sunni. She was a Sunni. She knew Allah, Rasulullah, and Hussein ibn Ali. Look at the great position Hussein enjoys with Allah. Look at this. It is the day of the birth of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The ziyarah of Hussein is mustahab. The day of Ghadir, the ziyarah of Hussein is mustahab. The day of Ba'that, the ziyarah of Hussein is mustahab. The day of Mab'ath, the ziyarah of Hussein is mustahab. The 15th of Sha'ban, the layla for Rasulullah, the night for Rasulullah. The greatest amal on 15th of Sha'ban is that we should stand underneath the open sky, point a finger towards the sky and say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. And it is said that Jibreel himself will carry this salam. The birth of Rasulullah, the ziyarah of Hussein is mustahab. The night of the darba of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the ziyarah of Imam Hussein is mustahab. The night of the shahada of Ali ibn Abi Talib, 21st Ramadan, the ziyarah of Hussein ibn Ali is mustahab. The night of the 23rd of Ramadan is the night of Allah. The ziyarah of Hussein is mustahab. Look at this grand station Hussein enjoys with Allah. As Allah says, Udhkurni azkurkum. Remember me, I will remember you. Hussein remembered Allah with his Asgar, with his Akbar, with his Abbas, with his Qasim, with the Zainab's chadar, with Sakina, with every breath. Now Allah remembers Hussein on every occasion. The jinn, the malak, the insan, every heart remembers Hussein. Every heart remembers Hussein ibn Ali. And why should it not be said that he who sheds one tear for Hussein will become wajibul Jannah? The tear for Hussein is the sign of Jannah. Even if we are in hell, if we can cry for Hussein, we are in Jannah. Final story, and I shall leave. There were two Ali Medin. Both of them renowned for their piety, taqwa, and knowledge. They made a promise with each other that the one who dies shall come to the other one and explain to him as to what transpired in that realm of existence of Akhirah. One died, the other one waited for days, weeks, months, years. And after he had forgotten, suddenly the one who had died came to him in his dreams. This who was alive, he said, but you promised to come immediately. He said, but I was caught in the adab of Allah. And this one shook. And he said, a man like you can be caught up in the adab of Allah? He said, yes. What was your crime? He said, me and you were walking one day, and a farmer was carrying a stack of hay. And I inadvertently picked up a straw and began to chew it. In my qabr it was said to me that you are Ali Madin. How could you usurp and do ghasbi, the maal of somebody else, and start chewing it? And because of that I was caught up in the adab. Then how did you find release? He said, last night a woman was buried in the Qabristan. After everybody had left, a light came surrounded by angels. It stood in front of that grave. And it said to the grave, As-salamu alayki, peace be upon you, O the one who rests inside this grave on this night. As you remembered me in your lifetime, I have come to remember you and receive you in my world. This man wakes up. In order to confirm this, he asks if anybody had died. And he finds, yes, a woman had died and been buried. He goes to her house, knocks at the door, and explains to her husband that he has seen this dream. And he asks her husband, O good man, was your wife a grand woman? And he said, no, she was a very ordinary woman. He said, but did she have any amal, any riyadah? Did she used to exert in devotion? And he said, no, she just did the wajibat. He said, try and remember. And the man said, yes, there was one thing she used to do. After the subuh prayers, every morning, she used to go to the roof of our house, turn towards Karbala, and say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillahi al-Husayn. And this Ali Medina.